which dictates our destiny. We got used to see how in this life everything is based upon on recommendation of other people. In order to get a good job, you need a resume. You need a recommendation to get a good job. I don't mean like construction. I don't mean somewhere be in the basement and put insulation. I have nothing against it. It's all good. But I mean, if you want to be to get in a warm place where you will work, you know, in small, where you'll be looking in a microscope and wearing latex gloves, well, you will not put too much pressure in it. In these places, you don't just get. You need a recommendation of people. You need a resume. You need an appointment. You need meetings with bosses and so on and so forth to get a good job. So you and I, we got used to thinking this way and understand it this way. If I need something in this life, always someone has to help me. Some person has to be in my life who will help me to open something, or with who together, when I will get together with him, something can come out of my life, something good. And you and I, without seeing the system of this world, we got that system into the Church of God. And now, usually in the churches, there's such doctrine that it's impossible to become a minister, evangelist, or a pastor to be of someone of a big caliber. I'm not talking about like 15 people church. It's impossible to get on a huge arena unless someone will help you. And you know, we're so got used to depend on people that sometimes that we, even our own standards and principles, we remove or lower them so much down that so somebody can like us in someone's eyes to look good, and so that person would help us to move us to step forward. But you know that God is absolutely has a different system. We got used to, and this so much is spread in the churches, that we depend from all these councils and so on and so forth. And all of our life, they always choose us and they decide everything for us, and they tell us if I can do this or not. They tell you the time, they tell you what to do, when to do it, or they tell you don't do anything. Our people decide our destiny. You know that this is fearsome. This is scary. This is the most scary thing that can happen in the church, in God, when for you is everything decided. And this is the system of this world. Yeah, you cannot get anywhere without recommendation. You cannot go to the hospital and say, I'm a doctor. I want to be a doctor. Where are my gloves? You know, this cannot happen. But in God, my loved ones, there is a principle that is totally contrary. There are some things that He gives birth to, and whether you agree with it or not, He moves how He wants to. Amen. He does what He wants to do. He will not ask anyone's permission before to start working in my life or through me. I can stop my ministry, but God, He gives something special and supernatural. Today we're going to talk about the sermon was born from God. What is born from God, and what is born from people? You know, at Christmas, it's a custom to talk about Mary, about a baby Jesus. It's a custom to say about the manger, about the donkeys, about the wise men who came, and the gifts that they brought over. Yeah, the gifts. And they with these gifts, and we got used to it. You know, I had a totally different sermon. I said, Lord, I'm not going to talk about Mary. I don't like traditions, and I break all the traditions because I don't believe in them. I believe that God must move in your life. On Thursday, God wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and gives me a sermon. I said, Lord, I don't want to. I already have a sermon. Don't bug me. I'm sleeping. But God tells me, you must say this. You must do this. And He gives me a story about Mary and the baby, Jesus. and everything that comes with it. I said, Lord, you know, I don't like traditions, but God says, don't worry, I'm giving this to you right now. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning because God didn't allow me to sleep, and I wrote this sermon, and after that, I went to bed. I was under my sheet. I was on my small phone. I was printing this message in the phone. You know, I have like a notebook, and I was typing everything. And I didn't want to go to the office, so, you know, I was just laying there and doing. And I wrote my thoughts down, and after that, God allowed me to just fall asleep. And what came out of it, you know, that I hate so much that in God people decide everything, and on the same token, at the same time, when no one has a right to touch this, you will understand what I'm talking about, where we're going. We will read story about Maria, but you will hear it in totally different colors. I'm not going to talk about the haystacks today. I'm not going to talk about the King Herod who was chasing Jesus. I will talk about how Jesus was born. What was involved in his birth. When God gave me this revelation, I understood and I said, Lord, this, every Christian must have it in his life. My loved ones, you know that there are children who are born in this world that we decide to give them birth. We decide, we agreed. Wife, are we ready? Yes, okay, let's begin. Okay, that's a different sermon. See, and we begin. Someone, people have it sooner, and some later. We give birth to children. It's a pleasant process, I'll tell you immediately. And our children are being born. And we bring children into this world. We decide how to name the child, and we decide the destiny of a child. We decide which school he's going to go to. We decide everything, which what he will be wearing, what toys he'll be playing with, or she, he or she. And he's talking about this custom of dressing Russian children in these weird clothes. So let's go back to the sermon. And you and I, we decide the destiny of a child. We decide everything, where he's gonna live, and which children are gonna be his friends. We decide everything, even which kindergarten he's gonna go, or whether he's gonna go to kindergarten at all, or is he gonna smart or dumb. We decide this, because if we're gonna take him to one school, he's gonna, or not take him to school at all, or maybe bring him to like some island and say, these are your friends, what you find around you. And then this is how we decide the fate of our children. But there's another category. Today, I want you, I don't think about children. I want you to think about your calling. Because there are things which we decide. These are the essential, regular things. And I'll tell you immediately, they absolutely are different from what, when God wants to give birth to something through you. They completely have nothing in common with your will or your wish. Whether you want this child or not, you don't even get to decide the eye color or name or the calling of this child. I'm not talking about our physical children. I'm talking about your calling right now. Don't listen to me with your ears now, but with your spirit. If you're going to hear me with your ears, you will not go far. He'll say, I don't get it. I'm going to go and pray. No, I'm talking about the calling. And we will get into the story. And step after step, we will consider the story of birth of Jesus Christ. Usually we go so fast through this story, and sometimes I know, judging it as myself, when I'll start reading New Testament all over again, usually I go through these pages because I heard it so much and seen it so much, because I just got tired of it. You know, everywhere is haystacks, and we're in plastic baby Jesus on the stage. You got tired. It's everywhere. You know, everyone sings Happy Birthday Jesus. It's all wonderful. But usually I went through it, but then God made me go back to it, and he started saying, read. And I started to read. and what we're going to read. Just remember this. There will be seven chapters of... According to these seven chapters, you will be able to recognize whether is your calling been supernaturally born or not. And you will see what is supernatural calling, how it looks like, and what happens out of it. I will tell you immediately that a long time ago, when they have predetermined my fate, they told me where I have to be and what I need to do and what my future was. I told those people, allow me to disagree with you, because my fate, you're not writing my destiny. I told those people around me which did not understand and did not want to understand, I told them that allow me to disagree with you, that in my time I will come out. In my time, you will hear me. One time, in my time, I want to be in ministry. I told Jesus immediately, I don't need natural ministry, because the natural ministries, there is plenty and abundant. There's brothers, and they decided to open a church. And now this church, and you know what then? What we have to do with that church? Then about 40 years, we pray in it, but about the revival of that very church. And for 40 years, according to some strange reason, nothing is taking place. Why? Because from the very birth, it was the will of the people. Amen? But what is God gives birth to in its time, it already has a character, spirit of God. Amen? You don't need to wake it up. People just come there and they are being reborn. Amen. We don't come to one more time to give a jolt to this church. Did it start up? No. And we're just trying to revive the dead corpse. I will go back, and I believe, as my father believed and my great grandfather believed, that this church one day will stand up. And it didn't stand up in 7 years, not a single time. Then everything is gone from it. And then it's all was just drawn. All the prayers were said, and God, He is not deaf to listen to you for 70 years. Imagine how God is tired of it. You know, the generations have changed, but there is nothing going on in the church. Lord, please raise this church up, raise this church up. You know, but they already feel good, because this was created by the hands, the system was started, and the laws took place. And now may God forbid that you are with your supernatural Jesus will come to that church. You know, they already have, because you can violate the order, you will break their lull, their calmness in that church. And look, and they have persuaded us that From little bit the bunch of people my life depends on, and now I try to please them. We don't, maybe no one knows this, but you know it, that you're trying to look beautiful before some people, because one word of a leader of the leader of the worship, and you can be in the worship team. One word of one pastor, and you can preach from the pulpit. And we completely forget that only God decides what you should do. If you want to be natural ministry, then just go there where they give out the names or the titles. And this is where your reward's going to be. But there are things in which you enter in your time, in which you enter with... And some uncle pastor doesn't decide when you should enter into your ministry. Amen? I didn't know when I had to come out. The time came and I was brought to it. God has just pulled me out by my hair. Let's get deeper in this story, and we will look at the details, and you will see how much this story must repeat in the life of each Christian. Why? Because... I will tell you immediately, such children, which calling do you want? The natural, that you will need to revive all your life or supernatural? I want the supernatural. Who wants the supernatural? Everyone's here. So, which means I will tell you now what is supernatural ministry and how you will get it. Do you want to know? I'll tell you. What Jesus told me at 4 o'clock in the morning, I will never forget, and neither will you. So whenever you'll read this story about Mary, you will always remember this sermon. Now you'll read it in a different way. Okay, that was the foundation. Let's get into the story. Let's open Luke chapter 1 from verse 26. Gospel of Luke chapter 1 verse 26. Starting, for those of you who do not carry the Bible with you, it will be on the walls. And let's get into the story. Now in the sixth month, the angel, I will read the whole story, and then we will come back from the beginning and you will see. I will give you seven chapters of what is supernatural, and automatically you will understand what is natural. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. But then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angels, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" We'll come back to it. And then the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary says, "I don't have a husband. I didn't know my husband." It's like, I didn't talk to the brothers yet. Jesus, how can you tell me open a ministry when, well, I don't even have husband. I was not with a man. All of us, we think that everything in our life depends from other people. And the first thought that even came into the head of Mary, she says, "I don't have a husband. I have never had sexual intercourse with my husband." He was not a husband back then, but they were just betrothed. You know, I'm still a virgin. Nothing happened in my life. Lord says, this is it. This is it. And this is what will be called the Son of the Most High. What you came up with and you gave birth to, it will never be called the Son of God. Amen? You can never make it the Son of God. And you know, when my first church failed and fell apart, we said, "Lord, what are we going to do? Everything fell apart, and we have died. We will never accomplish your will." God says, "You came up with it. You came with a name. You made a name. You've done it. You came up with everything." See, if something was taken away from you, then thank God. Thank God. Thank the Most High that He did not allow you to remain with your creation that you created. If something falls out of your hands, just release it quickly. So I understood this principle, and I understood only He can give something that no one else will ever can take away. Something supernatural, something powerful and great in your life, and that it will be impossible to stop or make it stop. We will read this. I like it. In the first service, we felt so good here. So, right now you will feel yourself well too. Okay. She says, I didn't know my husband. The first thing that she said, "Lord, I need someone. I need a man. For what you're telling me, Lord, Holy Spirit." Okay, I understand. Just imagine. You know, Mary comes, imagine this, to Joseph. And Joseph was, you know, he was a powerful man. Just imagine yourself to be in his shoes. I don't know, you know, only God can give such a husband to that woman. You know, you come to your, just imagine you, pregnant, come to your husband and he asks you, what's up? And said, I was with the Lord, you say. Holy Spirit just came upon me. I'm pretty sure that the husband will raise his sleeves and say, where is that Holy Spirit? Let me introduce. Nobody will believe you. What Holy Spirit? My loved ones. But this is supernatural, amen? I'm telling you the story of the life, but I want you to understand it spiritually in your calling. Sometimes God, He tells you, do this and do that. Lord, but I don't have a husband. Lord, I don't have any help. Lord, you know, I cannot accomplish anything. Lord, how is it going to take place? But this is how it's supposed to be. When you start under your feet, there should be no platform under your feet. And I give you the guarantee to this day, there are people and shows that they're mocking the birth of Jesus Christ from a Virgin Mary. Until today, they still make jokes, crack jokes about this. I still hear them. I'm not kidding you. People don't understand. My loved ones, no one can stop Christ. They say this person is the most popular person. You know what is the best-selling book in the whole wide world? Always was and is? The Bible. That's it. And even non-believers, they confirm this. Everybody. The Bible. The most powerful book and in the most languages. It's spread throughout millions and millions of copies everywhere. My loved one. You know why? Because Jesus, He was born supernaturally. So what do you want? The natural ministry where you will try to sell your own book. Read it. Maybe you will receive a revelation. One. In the whole book. How not to come out in the time that is not right. Or do you want supernatural ministry where when the time will come, no one will be able to stop you. No matter how much they want, no matter what they would do. My loved ones, stop this. Just try to stop it. We're stopping CNL. We're stopping the radio. We're stopping the websites. We're stopping everything. Try. You will not succeed because when God will start doing something supernatural, yeah, the Herod is chasing after us, but he will never catch up with us because we can ride the donkeys very fast. They put Jesus on a donkey and they moved him elsewhere. And when Herod all of a sudden understood what was going on, or when Herod died, he came back. It's a supernatural person. He was born supernaturally, and I love it. And when God came into my life, and He said, I want you to do this. In my head, you know, it was an explosion. I've seen thousands and thousands of saved people throughout the whole world, not just here. Almost 15 years ago, I've seen this picture inside of my head, and I said, Lord, I will never be able to fulfill. I'm alone. But God says, because you're one, because you're alone, nobody will ever give you glory. Because people who will look at you and your ministry, they will always give glory to Jesus Christ. Because it's impossible for one to fulfill what all of us doing today. It's impossible not to have any support, no monetary support or prayer support or verbal support, and do what we're doing. In the magnitude that we're doing. So next year we're going to have a very special presentation. I will announce it in the church what will take place. We must understand that God, He's supernatural God. And we must understand that He thirsts for supernatural. Without faith, you cannot please God. What is faith? it's the substance of all the things hoped for and assurance of things that are still not visible. I believe in something that still did not take place. It does not exist, but I believe in it. Mary says, "I'm virgin. I don't know what will happen, but she will give birth, and it will be called the Son of God. He will be called the Son of God." Mary says, "Gee, Lord, understand me. The situation is very critical. I need to talk with my groom. You know, we're not ready for it. We're not ready for children right now. No one asked her. I will explain to you everything. I will explain." Angel didn't come to her and said, "Me and God, we talked with God and we came up with an idea. You're a cool girl. And you walk pure. We like you, okay? And we counsel with God, and God has sent me over here. Are you against? Would you like to have a baby? Well, let's gather up a council with my husband. No, the story is not said like this. It's going totally different way, and feels totally different way. Let's read. Let's read from the beginning again. If you write and then write it down. You do not decide when to start your ministry. You don't decide it. Why? Because it's written. The angel came to her. She did not enter to angel, but angel came to her. Amen? I remember my time when I decided to do something. I graduated school and I said, okay, I'm ready. I didn't know that I was not going to be ready for another 12 years. But in my head, I said, hallelujah, I'm ready. I'm ready. And that's it. And that's when my roller coaster began, which I don't want you to go through. I will show you how to avoid them. I will show you how not to do things. Through this, God has carried me through. First, you don't decide when you come into your ministry. It says when the angel came to her, and the angel comes and says, "Rejoice, for Lord is with you." Yeah, you plan one thing, or you plan to have a family, but when it will take place, you do not get to decide. Number one, I'm just telling you right now, if you want supernatural ministry, this what will take place. Everything according to the word, step by step, I will explain it to. If you want natural, then tell to the angel, say, "Sorry, we will decide this when me and my husband we will want to have friends. We will let you know." No, God needs supernatural like this. Lord, nobody will understand me. My own relatives will start laughing at me. Oh, this is the secret. Will you be able to walk pregnant and not be married? Whoa, the story sounds totally different. What is this? I'm explaining. This means that you must be no one, you're still nobody, but start saying, "But I will have," like small children. He doesn't have anything, but he says, "When I'll grow up, I'll have a car." There is no car. Nobody will buy him a car. Or planning, he just walks around and he says, "My father will buy me a car." And when he walked like this, and all of a sudden, father got tired of it and bought him a little car. We need to understand this. We need to understand this. To be pregnant and not have a husband, it's like walk with your word and the calling inside of yourself and don't have anyone and tell him, "He helped me." Nobody helped me. Except Jesus Christ Himself. And until today, they're trying to prevent me from doing what I'm supposed to do. You know what I started doing? You know, I threw away the wheels and I got the tracks adapted. You know, they broke my bicycle. Then throw away the bicycle and buy yourself a tank. You know, I have no problems. If they will destroy my tank, I'll obtain something else. You don't get to decide when you will come out. You just know that it will take place. You just know who you are, and you know that the fruit is inside of you. But you do not get to decide when the baby is due, okay? So when it will be born. Second, you do not bring forward your you do not advertise yourself. Lord, I'm such and such. You know, I pray more than everybody else, and my antennas are higher than everyone else's. Lord, you know, I love you. But what's your motive? You love him? Yeah, then love him somewhere in the closet. Who's hindering you? No, we want to love Jesus in public. We will get to the public. Learn to love him in your closet when nobody sees you, but you tear up your heart. You know, your calling begins from the closet where nobody sees you. You do not advertise yourself. When angel came to her, he told her, Lord is with you. She didn't see the angel and said, she didn't say, yes, I know. Lord is with me. Everyone around you, they will see whether God is with you or not. Because they'll be able to see just looking at you. Who loves you and who hates you? Forget about that. When God will start raising you up, whether they want to or not, even your enemies will acknowledge you. They will just shut their mouths and that's it. And they won't say anything. Because you will get to them sooner or later. So do not lower God in dignity. God is performing miracles. What, God could not come up with something else? Why? To make Mary pregnant when she did not know her husband. What, God couldn't bring the child from the heaven on like a chariot, on the fiery chariot? Awesome. Why did he need Mary? What are we talking about here? Mary, she was like, you need to babysit her. You need to negotiate with her. She was in shock over there. She couldn't understand what's going on, who came and what was going on. Some child must be born. Lord, I'm in a trance. Lord, why does God need you? He couldn't do anything without you? Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. We are ready. Use us. Use me. Now let's go farther. You like the chapters? Supernatural ministry, it's different from natural. Totally different. If you got to decide before what to do, where to go, who to talk to, you had connections. I know a guy who knows a guy who does something. And when you get to the end of the chain, it's all good. We got used to this, to all these connections and stuff. With God, it's totally different. He wants to deal one-on-one with you, and he knows what's inside of you for real. You want to be put to shame publicly? Everybody will say, she's a prostitute. But inside of you, there's Jesus Christ. Oh, a story is totally different now. This is how it was. First, who didn't call her that, but thought it her future husband. Whoa. He wanted to leave her and release her and just let her go. It's like they didn't make a contract yet, but she's already pregnant. What's going on? And he says, first who called her or thought about her in this way, it's, and you and I, sometimes we want calling, we want to supernatural glory, but we don't want anybody to call us bad names. But it will be like, this, you have no other way out. You want supernatural ministry. You don't want a natural. When you will have natural ministry, then everybody will say, oh, he's a good brother. Everything is okay. He's lucky. And everyone will clap their hands and let's go farther. They will read your book once and that's it. We need to understand where is natural and when where there is supernatural, and what do you want? You want to invest where? I would rather wait for my time. But it didn't work out for me like that, though. They put me on hold. God just looked at me. It's like, what is he doing? You know, he's laughing over there. He's seen me. He's seen me running around like this. You know, with like sirens trying to chase the demons in Vita. Guys know what I'm talking about. They know exactly what I'm talking about. And Andre, you know, there are some people who know what was going on back then. It was born by me. It was cool, but it was quick. I don't want to live like this. Cool, but quick. Came up fast, but came down even faster. But everyone knew me. No, I don't need that. I don't need that popularity. I want supernatural, and that God just had mercy on me and just took away from my teeth. He pulled out everything. He put me on hold and say, sit for 12 years. You know, I was still moving, but barely. Until I died completely. And then the Lord says, okay, it is time. And I'll tell you, some people come into the ministry, beautiful, just dressed. But see, I was all with tears and I was all dirty and just came out. And what's going on? I'm beginning. What am I beginning? I don't want to. We already began once. God has cleaned me, dried me, and sent me on my way. You know the rest of the story. This is how we met. Let's move on. Second, you do not advertise yourself. Me, I want God knows you. Amen? He knows you. You don't need to tell him all the stories and advertise how good you are. That you give the tithe and how you love the people. God knows you better than you know yourself. And that's why you know there's no point of advertising yourself. If he didn't come to you, then just sit. But when he comes for you, just keep going. Number three, learn to walk only before God. And it's written, you have found favor with God. This is the secret. Because we must find favor in the eyes of the people. I'm telling you honestly. You and I, we live and grow up in churches and in the system where God is absolutely has no any significance. It's just a system. If you would be born in the Muslim, you would wear that hat and carry a little piece of carpet with you. No, yeah, this is it. It's true. It just happened that we're just happy to be born in Pentecostal family. It's a Russian accent, I know, but we were born with Baptist charismats wherever you were born. For a long time ago, they have told us, this is yours. And we got used to that we walk before people. We walk before him. And we sit there, just sit, roll our fingers. And when someone comes over, we just, we're as holy as we can be. Don't even chew bubble gum. Just to look good. Because you look into the future. If you will talk on your phone and laugh and talk during the service, then, pretty soon you're gonna be married and pastor will remember everything. It's like you're chewing bubble gum on the service. And we grew up in the system. We grew up in the system and we walk before people. I don't walk before people. Can't you see? And I want to tell you, stop doing that. Number three, chapter three. So good. Learn to walk before God. Because angel said, you have found favor with God. But we want to find favor from brothers, with brothers or with church or them, these people or whoever. you know, you want to find favor in their sight, but not God. I'm singing already in a choir. May God bless you then. I sang a lot before. Enough. I sang a song, that's it. Now I want God, amen. I want a live God. But to be in the supernatural ministry, there is criteria how it comes. And only by example of Jesus Christ, I can explain it to you, nothing else. As Jesus was born to Mary, same, your calling must come into you and be born through you. You only have two chances, whether to give God, give birth with a person or with God. And it's a totally different birth. From the beginning to the end, it's going to be totally different. Number four. You don't get to choose your calling. You have no choice about your calling. I want to be a Christian basketball player. I want to iron shirts for God. No, you don't get to choose what to do. Never. My loved ones, you know that the angel, he didn't ask Mary for permission. He just came to her and just let her know that you will give a birth to a child. Can I postpone this? No, sorry. You found favor inside of the Lord. So that's it. But we think differently. Too late. You already found favor in the Lord's sight. Now tell me where to go now. I cannot set everything aside, you know, and just leave or do something else. It's impossible. It's already inside of you. It was born. It's yours. And God looks at it and He smiles. You don't get to choose your calling. Look how it was, how the conception took place. God came to Mary, we think, to Mary and says, you have found favor. Would you want to give birth? I give you a guarantee she would say no. If he asked her, I mean, really. You know, she has relatives and, you know, back then they were stoning people to death for this. In our time, Jesus would come up with something else because nobody would even know. So, you know, children are born 5 months after the wedding. It's normal, you see. You know, and it's all good. We got used to these kind of things. If you didn't understand what I'm talking about, then thank God. It's a different sermon, though. Well, I don't have much time. You don't get to choose your calling. Look how interesting it was. She seemed, and the angel said, do not be afraid. For you found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive. So God has chosen her when you are in your time, and He speaks to you. And He must speak to each one of you because all of us, we're His children. But every one of us in our own time. So look. When she saw Him, she was troubled at His saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And then He says, it's not written, you know, oh, you understand. He says, He was very quick. Just imagine, you know, if you will let her think, then she may run away. He says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall, you know, it was so quick. Why? So look. One more time I'll read. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And then a small pause. And then He says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus. Amen. Nobody asked her for permission. You have found favor with God. But Lord, But me, I can. But I want a girl. I want a baby girl. You know, me and Joseph, we spoke about this a month ago, how many children we will have. And I want it to be girl Jesus. But if I cannot name her, I want at least a girl, my loved ones. No. You will receive a boy. You don't get to choose who this will be, amen? You don't get to choose who you will be. If you want to be natural ministry, you get to choose, and you will be. And you will do everything by yourself. But when God gets to decide, I like it so much. If it's His will, from the very beginning to the end, it's His. Why do I have to sweat over it? Why do I have to suffer and worry? Whoa, whoa, what's going on? I sleep well at night, and I watch cartoons. Because all the church is in His hands, amen? It was, is, and will be. But you have this, and you have this. So what? The life goes on. We only begin to live. At the end, we will see who is who. As they say, you know, laughs he who shoots the last. Okay. You don't get to name your calling. But Lord, okay, it's a boy. But can I call him David? No. He'll be Jesus. Lord, I tell you honestly, those who know me, they know exactly what I wanted to call the church. By what name? I don't want to tell everybody. You know, you'll look at me. I had my own dream. Oh. But the Lord says, no. Your child was aborted because I have a totally different child for you. And I have my name for you, for that child. Lord, what do you want? He says, Transformation Center. I received this name from Him. When I read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He told me the name of my calling before it even was born. Tell me. Does the name correspond with the function of the church? Are we transforming people from beginning to the end? This name, I did not come up with it. He came and He told me, it will be called this. But Lord, people will laugh at me. Transformation Center. I want church, which called God's grace. He didn't understand me. I don't know. There is many names. God said, no. It will be as I say. Okay, Jesus. Okay, then Transformation Center. My loved ones, you don't get to name your calling. Amen? God has His name for it. I'm just telling you about my life. What you will receive it from for your life, but you know. This is my Christmas message, by the way. You don't name your own calling. God or angel immediately told her that, you know, she had no chance to even name the child something else. You will give birth and then we'll call him Jesus, angel said. Number six. You don't get to determine the functions of your calling. You don't determine what it will do or what it will perform. When I named it, I didn't even know that we're going to be in G12 vision. I did not predestine this function, but when I went through my encounter with God and God says, this is the name and this is what you will do, you will just have to agree. Because whatever else you would do, you want supernatural ministry, right? If you want a natural, then we have nothing to talk about. Supernatural. Were the brothers of Jesus different from Jesus? Were they any different? Yes. Amen. Why? Because he was born from God, and they were born from Joseph. Then they decided to have more children in the family. We know nothing about them. Same with your ministry. Whether it's going to be from God and will live, because everything that's from God does not die. And we know until today, the preachers that live in 15th century, and we still read about them, these study about them, and these people are still alive for you and me. Because this was given from God. I don't want a religious firework, beautiful, but quick, and bad smell from the fireworks after the shot. They're trying to hurry me up. You don't get to determine the functions of your ministry. Angel said he will be a great and he will be called the Son of David. He tells Mary the functions of Jesus before he was born. He told me what I will do before it even began. I didn't know how, but he told me what it's going to be. He told me everyone who will be in contact with you, with your people, church, your doctrine, their brains will be transformed. Amen? I just tell people, just give me one CD, give them one CD and bless them. The rest, God will do by himself. They will find it and they will download. Don't worry about it. God knows how to knock to people. You don't get to determine the functions. You want to be in supernatural? Anybody wants to be in the supernatural ministry? Okay. Then what do I decide? Nothing. You decide nothing. How is it? I don't get to decide anything? Exactly. Your business is to come out with your stomach when you have big stomach, when you have no husband. And out loud say who, so everybody will start pointing fingers and say, who, he or she? They will cast out demons. They will be ministers. Ha ha. What, this family will be restored? We know. We've seen him. It's okay. My loved ones, yes. You need to stand out and say, declare that this will take place. If you want to see my statement before everything took place, come to over there where they sell CDs and buy. 2004 prophecy, when the church was not even in the project. God gave me a dream, a prophetic dream. 15 minutes, I'm talking about what God has told me. I bought it, and you will see. And see what happens here 3.5 years after. God came and named me the functions. It was dated, and God, it's impossible to fake this. I'm not a prophet, by the way. I'll tell you immediately, but that was an exception, you know, because people. So, but this is my calling, to be a pastor and preach. Number 7, you have no right. You have no right to lean on another person, or you cannot lean in the supernatural ministry, lean on a natural person. If God has told you, then this will be supernatural. Without the intervention of other men, everybody will say, you know, you need a man. She doesn't need a man. Amen? My loved ones, in this story, we can understand. In order for a child to be born, you need a man and a woman. And it cannot be any other way. But God, in this story, proves you something otherwise, that nobody has a right to intervene in the conception of your ministry, except God and the Holy Spirit. Let's all stand up. Give God glory. Are you receiving anything today? I hope in the new year we'll understand what we want. Let's just glorify Jesus Christ right now. Lord, we thank you for the life, for the happiness, for the blessing. We glorify you, Lord. We worship you, precious Jesus. We believe that you are changing. We know that we are not in the natural ministry, but we know and believe that you gathered us supernaturally. We did not make any contracts, and nobody didn't pay anybody here. Nobody was pulling or forcing anyone in here, but at one moment you said, and you have put your seed into our hearts, and that's why we are here. We've been fed with this word, and we thank you, Lord. We worship you. We glorify you, Lord. I thank you. Touch us. Let this new year, Lord, be different from this old year. We ask you, Lord, let this new year bring us an ample blessing, abundant blessing. Lord, I thank you. Let each one of us come into our calling, but in the correct time and with the correct motives. We know that each one of us is called to be fulfilled. And I ask you, talk to our hearts, Lord, what you want to do. And we thank you, Lord, that you change us. Touch the hearts. We thank you, Lord, for all the hundreds of these testimonials that we keep hearing and hearing. We thank you, Lord, that you are supernatural. We touch the lives of people throughout the whole world. We thank you, our precious Lord, for your glory that you have poured out on us. We glorify you. It's pleasant for us to be with you, to live with you, to communicate with you. Thank you, Lord, that you have cleaned us out from our life, all the bad stuff, everything that hindered us, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you continue to teach us, and we know this word, someone needed in here. Someone here needed this word. Maybe this fragment from this sermon you will use to perform something in the life of our family, something. We bless each one, each person who is here. We bless the future of this church because we know it's born from you and we have a great future. We thank you for everyone who decided to go along with us. We know that this way is not easy, but it's interesting and never boring. We thank you, precious Jesus, that we are with you and we're in you. Fulfill your work through the church. Fulfill the work through each one who's here. And help. Help us not to die. Help us not to die empty-handed. But let us bring forth a lot of fruit. Amen. Give him glory.